Hare Krishna. So I welcome all of you to the Sunday Feast lecture. So today the topic for discussion, I thought, chose the topic of enthusiasm, how to maintain and increase enthusiasm in Krishna's service. So recently I just visited my home. And, you know, my mother was just telling me that, why don't you just take a change from your, you know, stereotyped life? You should see so many different things, you know. Same thing, same Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You should take a little break from your routine, you know. You should see life. Things become boring after some time. So many times people think, you know, that yes, in fact, if you just keep doing the same things again and again over a period of time, what happens is that it becomes a little hackneyed, becomes a little boring, isn't it? That's what most of the non-devotees are, you know, into, basically, changing things that we do. And it's a fact, actually, if you see the process of Krishna consciousness is a repetitive process. You know, the same holy name. Recently in the dance, you know, during Guru Puja, I was given that service of organizing the dance steps, organize different dance steps, and one devotee was telling to another devotee, kya wahi dance, abhi thoda kuch naya. So that devotee replied, but the Mahamantra is also same only, you know, why don't we change the Mahamantra also? So that sometimes it keeps coming to our mind that how to, you know, increase the taste and the enthusiasm and the freshness, how to bring about freshness in the process. It's always a challenge for the Krishna conscious devotees. Because basically things are repetitive. Every year we go to the same dham. Same places. Not any different. Maximum little different combinations of the places that we visited. But basically it's the same. And for a change, sometimes we may go to some different place. But same dham, same temple we come to every week, same trains we catch for the last 20, 30 years, keep coming and attend. So, over a period of time, naturally, because of, due to certain reasons, things become a little hackneyed. Things become a little this thing. So, we are challenged. Our devotional life is challenged. There's a force, a pressure on us to actually take up to something different, you know, something, you know, a material little break from Krishna conscious life and to see how we can bring back our enthusiasm, which is actually, in one sense, a fall down. So there is a pressure on us to actually keep going. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that just like a soldier, when he's fighting, he sometimes gets wounded. Not sometimes, many times he gets wounded. And when he's wounded, he develops more enthusiasm to fight. Seen a soldier, when he's wounded, blood comes out and that triggers his enthusiasm to fight more vigorously. So in a similar way, devotees can actually take up a challenge that when their faith is challenged, when the progress on Krishna consciousness is challenged, instead of giving it up, to fight back with a greater vigor. And to find out, actually, introspect, that is what's going wrong. There's something seriously going wrong in my life. And I should really take a look at it. Just like if you're into business, you see. And if the business is not doing well, then you have to go back to the basics. Check out, what's going wrong? Are the customers not satisfied? I mean, are my servants cheating me or what? So, it takes a little introspection to actually see what's wrong. And we have heard that, yes, we have to take shelter and etc., etc. So what I tried to compile today was a list of things which people could use, you know, in a practical, more practical way, so that we can come back to our enthusiastic position. So in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, they have been known for their service to devotees. As we know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took two principles from all the sampradayas. And one of the principles that he took from the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya was the service principle. Service to Vaishnavas. Why? Because there's no one as good as the Sri Vaishnava when it comes to Tadiya Aradhanam, when it comes to service to the devotees. They're very good at it. So today in my seminar, in my presentation, I would try to take many examples and stories from the Sri Vaishnava tradition, which some of them you might have already heard, but taking a different look at the pastimes. Because service is such an integral part of Krishna consciousness. There was a disciple of Ramanujacharya whose name was Goshtipurna. And this Goshtipurna, he wanted to actually understand what is the purport of the Charam Shloka of Bhagavad Gita. Sarva Dharman Parityaja Mam Ekam Sharanam Raja. So he goes to Ramanujacharya for an explanation. And what does Ramanujacharya do? Tell him to join the base classes. or sit in the guest reception. I'll just come and I'll answer your questions. No, he didn't actually give the answer straight away. Generally we have a question answer session and then immediately someone asks a question and we give away the answers immediately. But here, Ramanujacharya is actually tells Goshtipurna that you go and you serve. Dasharati, who had come actually to learn from Ramanujacharya. Dasharati wanted to know the purport of the Charam Shloka. He was sent to Goshtipuri to serve Goshtipurna. And he served him for about a month. And he was very satisfied. And he told him that, you know, to understand the Charam Shloka, you have to be free from three things. Dasharati had been born in a very aristocratic Brahmin family. Secondly, he had a very powerful intellect. And thirdly, he was extremely attractive, very good looking. So Goshtipurna told him that these are the three things which one has to be freed from in order to actually come to understand what is the purport of this Charam Shloka. So he was said that you are more or less free from that. So you go back to Ramanujacharya and you submit to him and you explain what the situation is. So Goshtipurna sends him back and Dasharati comes back and tells Ramanujacharya that, you know, this is what Goshtipurna told me, that I'm qualified now to study the Charam Shloka from you. So Ramanujacharya says, well, just wait. And we know that pastime, that eventually Mahapurna, another one of gurus of Ramanujacharya, sends his daughter to Ramanujacharya for some personal assistant. Because her in-laws sent her back saying that you get some assistant from your father's place. So her father sent her to Ramanujacharya. So Ramanujacharya, he looked at Dasharati and he said, here is your personal assistant. So here is, one of the most biggest scholars and one of the most attractive persons, one of the most intellectual persons being sent as a personal servant in the house of a simple housewife, a simple lady. So he goes there and he does menial services. He does menial services at his house, cooks, and he's employed as a cook in the house. And he's cooking. He's cooking for, you know, householders. And we see that the pastime goes ahead, that eventually a scholar comes into the house and the scholar starts debating and giving a lecture on Krishna consciousness. And here Dasharati, because he's such a scholar and he was also hearing what's going on, and at that time, he finds out there is a little bit of tinge of impersonalism in his discussions. So immediately he raises a doubt and he says, what you're speaking is not right. And that person immediately chastises him and he says, you are an ordinary cook. What do you know about, you know, this deep esoteric philosophy of Krishna consciousness? What do you know about Bhagavatam and all these things? So they had a debate, and in that debate, Dasharati thoroughly smashes the arguments of this so-called scholar. And when the scholar is defeated and all of the people, they come to know that this person who is cooking for us is not an ordinary person. He is such a well-read person in the Shastras. I'm sure that this person is someone extraordinary. Who is he? And they inquire from him and they find out that he is actually Dasharathi, the very eminent and famous scholar. So they actually find out from Ramanujacharya that why is he here? And they request him to please take him back. Why is such a learned scholar sent into an ordinary house to render menial services of cooking? So Ramanujacharya, when he heard from them reports about how humble he had become in, you know, trying to render these menial services of cooking and, you know, all those other services, when Ramanujacharya actually, he calls him back and then explains to him the Charam Shloka, the purport. Not so easily, but only after he went through a very rigorous purification of rendering humble service at the house of ordinary householder, could he actually come to understand, or Ramanujacharya would give him that knowledge. So this is a very interesting phenomena, that many times when we come to Krishna consciousness, we hear the same philosophy again and again, and we realize that why on earth, what the hell, sometimes, that we are not able to, you know, appreciate that same thing we keep hearing again and again. The fact is that we can only appreciate the Krishna conscious philosophy when we actually are rendering tangible services to the movement in some way. And thus, to ensure enthusiasm, one has to check whether we are having sufficient service in Krishna consciousness movement, which will humble us and doing the service in under some authority who is qualified and who is giving us directions from time to time. Unless we don't have that kind of an attitude of rendering service, we cannot actually develop taste in Krishna consciousness. That's why in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is explained that in order to develop taste in Krishna consciousness, one has to develop service attitude, serve the great devotees of the Lord. And then one gets taste for Krishna consciousness. This is the basic principle. Just like, you know, there's a very famous pastime of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He was visited by a very famous industrialist. I think his name was Madan Mohan Malviya. Yeah. And he came and he started asking Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur a question. And he said, yes, yes, well, you can just go to the kitchen and, you know, you can ask your questions to that brahmachari and he will reply to your questions. So this brahmachari was cleaning the pots and he was so busy that when this person came, he said, you know, why don't you just help me in these pots? I'll answer to all your questions, but first you just help me in these pots. So that very famous and, you know, opulent person had to, you know, raise his dhoti, tie it up and actually come down to the basics. Cleaning the pots. And then after the whole ordeal was over, this brahmachari then sat with him and he said, so what's your question? He said, all my questions are completely answered, no problem. It's okay. So many times people ask questions why, or they have doubts in order to justify sense gratification. Because basically, the main problem of conditioned soul is sense gratification. But when one renders service to the Krishna conscious movement, then what happens is one develops a service attitude and the enjoyment mentality actually recedes. And as the enjoyment mentality recedes, the doubts which arise also does not really matter so much. Many times, doubts are to justify sense gratification. So if we are ensured that we are engaged completely in Krishna consciousness, completely, with no free time actually for Maya, then actually we see that our enthusiasm goes on increasing. And we know that how devotional service is actually the topmost thing in this world. As Krishna explains to the gopis, he says that, I am so pleased by your devotion to me, by your service to me, that I have nothing else to offer you except devotional service. The service to me is the topmost thing, and there's nothing greater than this that I can offer you. So you please be satisfied with devotional service. So this was what Krishna's gift to the gopis for their phenomenal service and their complete surrender to Krishna, devotional service. So we see that devotional service is the topmost prerogative, is the topmost gift to humanity. So many times it happens that even when we are rendering service, we actually think that even the service becomes monotonous. In the same service, you keep doing over a period of time, and even we think that the service becomes a little hackneyed. So what to do? I'm doing a lot of service, and I've also done a lot of service since many, many years, but what to do? That same kind of service is kind of making me bored. So I personally, once I asked this question to Janani Vas Prabhu, that how come you rendered service to Radha Madhava for 30 years and plus without changing of service? And you said that you will actually become bored of service if you are doing it for sense gratification. If you are doing it for your own pleasure, if you are getting some kick out of the service, you like that service, or you are behind some rewards out of that service, you will certainly get bored out of the same service. But if you are doing it for the pleasure of your authority, of your guru, then guru's pleasure becomes your main motivation for the service. And you can keep on going on and on and on without getting bored of that service. Now this is a very deep secret. But for that, for ensuring that you are doing the service for the pleasure of the authority or for the guru, you must have devotion, you must have love. Isn't it? You must have love. So to develop affection for the guru is one of the very important principles. And how can that be done? By rendering service and keeping the priorities in the right place. But still, even on the material platform, one cannot think that, you know, the service is getting hackneyed. Because there is infinite room for expanding services. The service may be the same, but there's always a room for increasing the quantity and the quality of service. And we can see that in the Shastras, the various such examples. Once in the Shri Sampradaya, there was one devotee. His name was Kidambi Achan. And he was giving water to one devotee. He was serving water and he was drinking. So he was serving water in such a way such that that devotee's neck got twisted a little bit. It was a little uncomfortable for him to drink water. So what Ramanujacharya did? He didn't say, why didn't you pour water properly? See, he's uncomfortable. No. He gave him one tight slap. Tack! And he told him that, what is the way that you're serving this devotee? That's not the way. You should serve in a way such that the devotee is completely peaceful and completely comfortable and satisfied. Thus ensuring that when we are rendering service, the person whom we are rendering service is completely satisfied. If you are doing the service, but if the person for whom we are rendering service is not satisfied, or if we are not satisfied doing the service, at the end of the service we think, oh God, it's done, then actually, it is actually a failure. So therefore, we can see that how in the scriptures, acharyas have put an emphasis on improving the quantity and the quality of service. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he very much glorified the devotional service of Raghav Pandit. As we know that he was very, very expert in rendering perfect service to the Lord, a very high quality service. And in one such pastime, we see that one of his pujaris, he would get coconuts for offering to the Lord, fresh tender coconuts. And when he would be offering that coconut to the Lord, he would be getting it from very far away. And one of the pujaris, it so happened that he touched the ceiling of the altar. And Raghav Pandit saw that, the offering might have got contaminated because he touched the ceiling. So he immediately threw those coconuts, disposed them off, and he again arranged for the coconuts to be brought from a very far off place. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually glorified his service because he was rendering a very high quality and a very meticulous service to the Lord. So a devotee's constant meditation should be how to expand his service in terms of quantity and in terms of quality. Many times it may so happen that a devotee may think that, you know, in Krishna consciousness, it is just basically the attitude and not the results which matters, which is true, actually. Krishna does not see the results. But we can certainly offer our results as much as possible to the Lord. We can keep an account of how much services we are rendering to the Lord, even though the Lord does not see how much we are offering to Him. So therefore, we must be goal-oriented. And we can see that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Gundicha temple Marjanam, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was cleaning the temple, he was accumulating so much of dirt. And he would admonish and he would chastise those devotees who would not collect enough dirt. And he would say that, just see, you're not working so well, you're not serving so well. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was actually showing that how, even the quantity, a devotee must also think that in what ways can he improve his services and increase the quality and quantity of his service. This is a very important principle. So when such absorption is there in Krishna consciousness, in expanding service, then naturally there cannot be boredom. The absorption should be there when one is absorbed in a service. Just like one devotee was telling that one sadhu was meditating. He was meditating on the Lord. And all of a sudden he gets disturbed by a lady who kicks him and goes. And he opens his eyes and he's abusing. Who's this lady? What business she has to kick me? And she goes ahead. And what was actually happening was this lady was so infatuated by a boy that she was going to meet her lover. And she was so engrossed in anticipation of meeting her lover that she completely forgot, or she didn't realize that whom she had disturbed, whom she had kicked. So at the end of the day, when her business was done, she was just thinking and she realized that, my God, on the way I kicked this sadhu. Big offense. So she comes back and she does dandavat to the sadhu and she says, Sadhu Maharaj, please forgive me. I kicked you actually. Please forgive me. Sadhu Maharaj says, you couldn't see? I'm sitting in the middle and you are just kicking me and going, how could you be so careless? So what to do? I was so absorbed. I was so absorbed in thinking about my lover that I did not see you sitting on the road. And Sadhu Maharaj was thinking, her absorption is greater than mine. She is more absorbed than me. Because I was thinking of the Lord, but my absorption was broken when she kicked me. But she kicked me and she tripped. But she did not realize that she kicked me. Amazing absorption. And many times we see that. Devotees come and tell us, Prabhuji, I am become a devotee and all I think about is prasad. I go to work in my offices, people are so detached from eating and sleeping. People are constantly on the computers. They get the tiffin and they forget the tiffin is there. And in the evening they think, Arey, hey, tiffin khana bhul gaya. And the devotee, the moment he goes to the office, is thinking, prasad ka time kab hoga? So there's a problem in absorption. People cannot absorb actually. It's a difficulty. But absorption, the mind needs an absorption. If the mind is awakened, then the mind will drive us crazy. That's why we must have some goals to keep us absorbed, to keep us hooked. Because some goals, short-term goals, will keep us inspired to keep going ahead. That's why we should have a short-term goal. We have a long-term goal, that achieving Krishna's mercy, that's there. But certain goals within our project that we are handling by which we can be inspired. So therefore, we should have a vision. Just imagine that people are watching a cricket match and a bowler is bowling. Batman is batting. But you observe that there are no stumps. What will happen? Or there is a football match and they are dodging the ball here and there and there is no goalpost. Amazing, isn't it? I mean, it will be fun to watch, but it will get boring after some time, isn't it? Why are they running behind the ball? You know, ultimately for a goal. You know, they are trying to achieve something. So unless we don't have a goal, it's meaningless. Like some devotee was telling, that when a person boarded, when the flight took off, they made an announcement, it seems, that we have a good news and a bad news. Sorry, good news and a bad news? The good news is that we are going very fast. And the bad news is we don't know where we are going. So goal is very important, isn't it? I mean, if we don't know where we are going, so it's meaningless. So therefore, when we are rendering some service, we should be having a tangible goal right in front of us. And we can see that Srila Prabhupada had a vision. Srila Prabhupada had a vision. And we see that how when in Leelamrit we read that he was sitting in America with nothing, no books, not many, no disciples, no temples. And he's discussing with a man, a gentleman, and he's telling that, I have books, I have disciples, I have temples, and I have so many followers. All over the world there is Krishna consciousness. So he was having a vision and he was telling that it is only time that is separating me from that. So therefore, devotees must sit and down and establish a vision for themselves as to what tangible things they want to accomplish. Something which is not too ordinary, but something which is so challenging, which will be inspiring for him to keep going on and on in Krishna consciousness. Which could be anything. Which could be anything within that particular person's service. We can also see in Bhakti Vinod Thakur's life that he was having a vision. What was his vision? When will that day come? When all the Europeans, the Americans, and the whole world would come to Navadvip to chant and glorify Lord Sachinandan. And chant in Naam Sankirtan. Jai Sachinandan Gaur Hari. So that was his meditation. That was his vision. And that was keeping him inspired to see that how one day that day will come. So similarly, we have to actually aspire for that particular increasing of our Krishna consciousness in a very tangible way. Because certainly, we can see that how these karmis are so good at it. And we can take inspiration from them. They are so absorbed in service. Like for example, one of our devotees visited a hotel in Hong Kong. And he was speaking to the manager of that hotel. And that hotel manager was telling him, he was asking him, so what do you like? So he said, I like carrot juice. So when he went to his room, and he was settling down, and he opened the refrigerator, and he found in the refrigerator there was carrot juice. Carrot juice was there. So it was like surprised. He said, wow, so prompt service. And then he went back to his country, and then again he came to Hong Kong the next year. And when he registered and he took his room, he found there was in his refrigerator carrot juice. Now he loves carrot juice. That's his favorite. And he was telling that every year when he used to go to that hotel, in the refrigerator, there would be carrot juice. Not just 1 year, 2 years, but for the next 10 years, he visited that hotel and he found that there was carrot juice. And he would say that I would always look forward to going to that hotel. Why? Because I should think, carrot juice. Because he loved carrot juice. So, he was saying, this is service. So, these people are expert at rendering top quality service. So, why can't we get, you know, inspiration to render that service to the devotees? You know, just like Devamrita Swami Maharaj was here. And he was telling an example of how when his IBM computer got spoiled and he called up the local people that, you know, Prabhuji, my computer is spoiled. Not Prabhu, I mean, sorry, my computer is spoiled. And he said, really? And he took his registration number and he said, so when do I get it? They said, after 2 days or something. So he said, but I'm flying out of the country after 2 days. So he said, that's not your problem. That's our problem. I said, really? Amazing. What service? I mean, any part of the world, if I'm there, will you give me the computer? I said, that's not your problem. That's our problem. So immediately the people came to pick up the computer and it was taken back, and immediately within 2 hours they called up saying that sir, your registration number is so-and-so, your complaint number is so-and-so, and the thing will be delivered to you. And he was amazed, actually, at the promptness of the service that was given to him in this ordinary service company. So we see that how much a devotee must also be careful in rendering top quality service to Krishna, because we are serving the topmost. So certainly we must be careful about the details, about the quantity and the quality of what we are trying to render. Now, but at the same time, we have to be detached, because without a goal, there won't be inspiration. But with the goal, we may get attached. That's also a problem. Just like, you know, my personal experience was when I was just sitting outside of the gate, I saw two boys, you know, they were just playing with the ball, just throwing it up in the air. And so I was waiting for a program, with a devotee for a program. So I just thought, I was looking at them playing and I was thinking, what a pointless game they're playing. They don't know how to play. So I will teach them. So I remembered a game which I used to play in my... So I tell, okay, boys, you come together. And I took the ball from them and I said, I made a circle in the center and I told them, you go on that side, draw a line. And I said, okay, so when I count to three, you come together, pick up the ball, and you should go on to the other side. And the other person who doesn't get the ball should go and touch him. If you touch him, he's kind of out and he gets a point. This person who touches gets a point. So I set them up against each other. I gave them a goal. Something to work, because they were just, you know, throwing ball into the air and catching. And I thought, that's not so fun. Huh? So one of the boys was very smart. You know, I just said, 1, 2, 3. Immediately he would come, pick up the ball and go. And by the time the other person would not even realize what's happening. So he was too smart. So I was just counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So I said, 12 is the winning. Whoever gets 12 wins. So this boy, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 12. And after 12, this boy disappeared. I said, what happened to that? And I went to search him, and the other boy also went to search him, and he was standing behind the pillar, screaming. Aah! And I said, my God, what happened? What did I do? I got afraid. Maybe I will be set up in a child abuse case. I said, don't try. I mean, what happened? And then he refused to say. But then I understood that he was losing. He was so attached to the results that he lost his peace of mind. Became miserable. And I was thinking, what did I do? I set them against each other. They were happy previously throwing the ball and having fun. And I thought, let me inspire them. But what I got them into is an attachment. So therefore, when we have goals, we should also be detached from it. It's a very important principle. We should know that ultimately it is all in Krishna's hands. We are not the controllers. Ultimately, the result is up to Krishna. The basics of Krishna consciousness. Karmanye vadikaraste ma phale shukadachana. Ma karma phale heturvur mate sangosva karmani. So don't think you are responsible for the fruits of your action. One of the very important principles. And depend on Krishna. Very important part of Krishna consciousness is whenever we do any service, we have to always pray and depend on Krishna for the results. If we do not depend on Krishna, then all the service is rendered useless. Because there are so many factors which are beyond our control. So many factors. No matter how excellently you plan any service, there will always be certain loopholes somewhere which may go wrong completely and may disrupt your service whatsoever. So therefore, we must always depend on Krishna, knowing that Krishna will anytime humble us. So when we are doing some service, we have to be careful about some do's and don'ts. Isn't it? We have to be careful about some do's and don'ts. And popularly, we know that we have to be humble when we do services. There is a very famous pastime in Sri Sampradaya about Ramanujacharya. When he would go to take a bath, he would have Dasharathi with him and he would be holding his shoulders, holding his hands, and he would enter into the lake. And he would take a bath and he would come out and he would hold the hands of Dhanurdas, who was a Shudra. And the people started asking, Ramanujacharya is a very exalted Brahman and he's holding the hands of a Shudra Oh, how abominable. Why is he doing that? So Ramanujacharya said that Dhanurdas is born in a Shudra family, therefore he has no pride of being born in an aristocratic family. So he is humble. But those who are born in aristocratic families have that pride. So therefore to purify me, I am touching Dhanurdas. Just to purify myself of this anartha which is there of being born in an aristocratic family. So here is a very important teaching that how we must always ensure humility. Always ensure humility when we are rendering service. We know this famous pastime of Quraysh. That when Quraysh, he was blinded by that king, Tola Tunga. And that king left him. And subsequently, Ramanujacharya requests Quraysh to beg the Lord Vardharaj for his eyes. But Quraysh was blind and he thought, what is the use? What is the use of asking for my eyes back? So he prayed for the forgiveness of that Brahmin who actually implicated him in this affair, who instigated Tola Tunga in going against or waging a war against these Vaishnava, Sri Sampradaya people, Sri Vaishnavas. So he begged for the forgiveness of the person who actually caused his blindness. So that was his humility, that he could never even perceive what is an offense. And we see that ultimately Ramanujacharya told him that, Quraysh, what you are doing is not good. You have actually acted selfishly. Because you have asked for benediction from the Lord for your personal self-aggrandizement. Because you are getting great pleasure of seeing all these people get liberated. But what about me? So this body of yours is not your property. This body of yours is my property. So therefore now beg for the Lord, not for your property, but for my property. So beg that Lord gives back your eyes, which are not yours, which are mine. And that time Quraysh, he goes and begs the Lord very happily, thinking that now Ramanujacharya has accepted my body as his property. So therefore I'm so happy that Lord, please give back my eyes back. He said like that. And the Lord promised him that after this life, you'll come back home, back to Godhead. So all the devotees went to Ramanujacharya and told him that Quraysh has been communicated by the Lord that actually he will go back home, back to Godhead in this lifetime itself. And Ramanujacharya becomes so happy and he starts yelling and screaming that even I will go back home, back to Godhead. There is hope for me also. So the devotees become a little shocked that why is Ramanujacharya saying that he will also go back home, back to Godhead? Of course he's going back home, back to Godhead. But Ramanujacharya was saying that if Quraysh is going back home, back to Godhead, who's my disciple, then certainly I stand a chance to also go back home, back to Godhead, because I've been connected to him. I rendered some service to him. So certainly the Lord will deliver me also. So that was Ramanujacharya's consciousness. So he was considering himself as insignificant, as worthless, and he was considering his disciple to be more exalted than him. So this is the consciousness of even those who are on the top level in Krishna consciousness. That even though they are having leadership positions, but they are considering themselves lower than the people they are serving. Therefore it is said a leader is not the one who has more number of servants, but the one who serves more number of people. That is a true leader. So we see that there are so many such examples in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. One such story comes to my mind about Kanchipurna, who was a great devotee of the Lord. And one day he was rendering service to the Lord. The chamar, he was very expert at rendering this chamar service to the Lord. And at that time, a devotee approaches him and says, my dear Kanchipurna, you are so expert and you are so dear to the Lord. Why don't you ask the Lord when I will be qualified to come back home, back to Godhead? So Kanchipurna says, all right, I will do that. So he asked the Lord Vardaraj that this devotee has actually asked when will he be qualified to come back home, back to Godhead. So the devotee Vardaraj tells him that this devotee, he'll come back home, back to Godhead in this very lifetime. So he said, why? What are the reasons for that? So the Lord explained, because he's attached to you and he's rendering service to you. So therefore he's attached to a devotee. Anyone who's attached to my devotee is qualified to come back home, back to Godhead. So the Lord explains like that. So this Kanchipurna becomes very happy and pleased to give this information to that devotee. And that devotee is also pleased and he goes back. And the next day, while rendering the service, chamar service to the Lord, Kanchipurna gets a doubt. Now this devotee is going to go back home, back to Godhead. But what about me? Am I also qualified to go back home, back to Godhead? So he becomes a little inquisitive and the Lord speaks to him and asks him, it seems that you have a doubt in your heart. Come on, open up, ask me. So he reveals his heart to the Lord. And the Lord explains, well, that devotee was attached to you, so therefore he was qualified to go back home, back to Godhead. But as far as you are rendering service to me, but I am just reciprocating to you according to how you are reciprocating with me. But ultimately, you cannot come back home, back to Godhead till you get attached to a devotee and you serve that devotee. The next day, the Lord finds that Kanchipurna is missing from his regular service. Lord is wondering, what happened? So Kanchipurna, he goes to Mahapurna in Srirangam and he renders service to Mahapurna, one of the gurus of Ramanujacharya, and renders service to him in great attachment and love and affection. So when we are rendering service, that service must result in attachment to that devotee. If the service is making us frown and think that, God, why am I being given this service? Why me? If we are complaining at the end of service, that is a complete failure. So service must result in developing attachment for the person whom we are serving, the guru. So attachment to the guru is a very important principle in actually encouraging or inspiring ourselves in Krishna consciousness. And we see that there are various examples of how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when devotees were going to meet him in Jagannath Puri, there was this dog also who came along. And this dog also came. And Shivanand Sen was responsible for taking care of the yatris. And he was a little negligent in taking care of the dog, and the dog went missing. So somehow or another, Shivanand Sen made some arrangements, sent people to find this dog, but they couldn't find him. So very despondent, Shivanand Sen, when he came and he found that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was feeding this dog the coconut pulp. Pulp of the coconut, tender coconut. And he was telling the dog to chant Hare Krishna, Hari Hari. And the dog was chanting Hari Hari. He had completely received the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Why? The Lord wanted to show that if the devotee gives a mercy to anyone, then the Lord has to give his mercy. Therefore, the Lord's mercy always follows a devotee's mercy. So therefore, the services must be engaged with that attitude of developing an attachment for that person. Otherwise, it is going to be disastrous. So therefore, service, while trying to develop attachment, is a very important principle. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also showed through the example of Amogha, who was so envious of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Amogha, as we know, was so envious that he would every time come when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would be, invited by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya for prasadam. Amogha would secretly come and spy over what's happening. And as soon as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would start eating and honoring prasadam, he would come inside and he would say, oh, just see this sannyasi, he's so attached. He's eating so much, and he would criticize Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he was the son-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya would come with a stick and run behind him to drive him off. That this such a rogue, why is he my son-in-law? I pray to the Lord that let him die. We don't want him. And because of his offenses, Amoga developed cholera. And he was on the verge of death. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to him and put his hand over his chest and told him that, why have you allowed your heart, which is the residence of the Lord, to become the residence of envy? Why have you allowed envy to enter your heart? It's the place of Krishna. And the moment he touched him, he received the complete mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he was completely purified. So this is a very important principle. We see that when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that, why did you give mercy to Samoga? He was so sinful. You should have allowed him to die. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that because he is related to you, anyone who is connected with my devotee has to receive my mercy. So this is the whole conception of, you know, this is the whole idea of initiation. We are not qualified. And there's a great hope for us that if a person like Amoga can get so much mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then certainly we also can get a lot of mercy just by our connection and a positive service attitude towards the devotees. So, therefore, Ramanujacharya, he explains in his teachings that there are four very important things that we should be careful of while rendering service. One is the holy name is the essence of all the scriptures. The highest Purusha Artha is service to the Lord. The third very important principle is attachment to Guru, which is the means of perfection. And lastly, one must avoid Bhagavat Aparadha. So this is a very important principle. We must try to avoid offenses towards devotees while we are rendering service. And Ramanujacharya explains that there are 12 major offenses which a devotee must avoid. So there are various such examples. So it is explained that when a devotee is offended, what he should do? It is said that when a devotee is offended, he should simply tolerate. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains, Trinadapi sunichena taroriva sahishruna amanina manidena kirtaniya sadahare. Be more tolerant than a tree. Recently, when I was taking a 6-session course, one of the persons, he told me a nice story in this regard of a tree who fell in love with some children. The children would come in the evening and they would play in the shade of this tree. And this tree would be so happy to see the children, and he would see that they're just my children. And he would shake his branches, he would shake his leaves, and he would fan them. And he would give them the fruits and the flowers to eat. And he would lend his branches for the children to come and play and jump and make swings out of it. And he would render such loving service to the children that he became completely attached to the children. And every day when the children would go back home, the tree would wait in anticipation that when will the next day come and the children will again come and play in my shade and accept my services. So the tree was had developed so much attachment for the children. So as these children grew up, they became a little big and they started having more and more engagements. So these children, when they became very big, the tree started thinking that, why aren't these children coming more often? But as time went by, their frequency reduced. So one day these children decided that, you know, we need to make a boat because we want to go on the opposite side of the river so that we can go and search for some employment. So one day the tree was waiting in anticipation that when will these children come? And all these children come with axes and saws and they chop off the trunk of the tree. But the tree is so overwhelmed with love for the children that he so willingly offers himself to the service of the children that he does not complain. And he was telling that still the tree, that only the stub is left of the tree, but the tree still waits for the children to come back. So it's a nice, actually, a story which makes us think that how selfless or unconditional love can be. That the tree never complains, even if it is attacked, but it completely gives itself out to the service of others. Therefore, in that mood, therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, he gives an example of a tree, that we must be as humble as a blade of grass and more tolerant than a tree, because a tree, even though he's chopped down, he never complains. But how is that possible? Only if our heart is filled with love. Only when the heart is filled with love can we actually be able to tolerate offenses to ourselves. We see the example of Parashar Bhatta, that he was once giving a lecture, and in the middle of the lecture someone just gets up and he starts criticizing him. So Parashar Bhatta, he gets down from the Vyasasan, removes his gold chain, his chadar, and he honors that person. And all the people started wondering that, we really didn't know that this was a wonderful way of pleasing you, by criticizing you and receiving such kind of gifts from you. So he said, well, my guru gave me 3 instructions. One is, serve the holy name, serve the devotees, and thirdly, to find faults with yourself. I was doing the first, doing the second, but the third I couldn't do because I was so absorbed, so busy. Now this person is criticizing me, so he's helping me, he's serving me, serve my guru. So therefore I am giving him gifts. I am encouraging him. Go ahead. So we can see that how one can be very tolerant when one is offended and not offend someone in return. And many times we are tested. Our faith is tested actually. Like I still remember when I was in the Tirupati and I was coming down from the mountains. So we had to take that bus, TTD buses. So I sat on the first bench and I kept my leg on to the rod which was in. There was no seats ahead of us. And there was a long gap and the driver was sitting. So I kept my leg on the back of the on the rod. So the driver came and he saw me sitting with my leg like this. He said, "So Swamiji, put your leg down." And immediately my past conditionings came up. I was thinking, my God, this is too bad. How could he tell me what to do? And it's not his seat. The seat is right ahead. So while he was driving, I thought, come on, he's not seeing. So again, I can put my leg and just relax a little bit. But his eyes were behind. So while he was driving, he again looked back and he looked at my feet and said, "Put your leg down." And I got a shock and I was thinking, my God, I think I should blow you out. But then I remembered, my God, Trinathapi Sunijena is the principal. And I was adamant and I kept my leg there. And another devotee is telling, "Prabhuji, keep your leg down, it's okay, let it be." And I was shocked and I was thinking, my God, where's all my devotional principles gone? Where's my Trinathapi Sunijena? So many times we are tested. When we are teased or we are called ill names by someone, that, my God, where's our humility? Where's the humility? And we feel that we should again blast off. But then we look back and we think, I'm wearing this, I should not do this. We are tested. Severely tested. Like I remember when I was sitting in Calcutta, railway station. And I was with some of these boys. I was taking them to Mayapur. And one beggar came and he says, "Please, Prasad do." Looked at him and we're limited. So the boys asked me, "What should I do?" So I said, "Okay, thoda, give them some prasad." So he was very hungry. So they gave him one chapati and a little jam or whatever. So that he took that prasad in his hand and he was so angry, "Only this much?" And he threw that chapati on a devotee. So they all looked at me. "Prabhuji." And I remembered, we are going to Mayapur, we should not offend. I said, "Peaceful, peaceful. It's okay, let's tolerate." And after some time that devotee came back, beggar, he came back. He said, "Why don't you give me something? Give me to eat, I'm hungry." And then we looked at him saying, oh, he's an offender. We should not entertain him. And he came and he started spitting at us. I was thinking, what should he do? And we are tested like this. Then I thought, maybe I should just give him a scare. And I got up from my seat. I thought, this is too much. If we tolerate too much, then it is offense to devotees. We should not tolerate offense to devotees. He's criticizing and spitting on devotees. And I was praying to the Lord and I thought I should do something. So at least I should scare him. And I just got up from my seat. And he got so frightened, he ran away. He just ran away from there. And I thank God. I prayed to the Lord, thank God. Because in any case, I would not have been able to beat him. I should not beat him. Trinadabhi Sunichayana as a principle. And what will the people of Calcutta think? These Hare Krishnas are beating up a beggar? So our faith is tested many times. Many times. And we are on the verge of going back to our past habits. But then we have to constantly remember. We have to constantly keep reminding ourselves that what is the true principles of Krishna consciousness is to surrender, to consider ourselves insignificant. Insignificant. So, he says if you should tolerate it, and secondly, you should be compassionate. Why? Because if a devotee is being criticized, if he is being offended, we should understand that Krishna will certainly punish him severely because he is criticizing a devotee. So therefore, we must feel compassion for him. We should feel compassion for him. And we should feel happy internally. Happy. Internally, we should feel happy. But sometimes we feel just the opposite. We feel happy externally and internally we are burning. But internally, we should be happy. And we should learn to laugh it out. It's okay. So what? I'm insignificant. All these insults are to my body. I am not the body. If there is a car outside and someone comes and says, if we have a car parked outside and someone says that, you know, someone has thrown a stone on our car. Really? Immediately we'll get up from the middle of the satsang and go and check the car. And we see nothing happened. Oh, it was someone else's car. And we realize, oh, it's okay. And we come back. And sometimes it may happen that if it's a person person whom we don't like, then we feel happy also sometimes. Okay, good, good. Basic anarthas. But why do we feel that? Detachment, that careless, carefreeness. Why? Because that car is not mine. Similarly, when we disidentify ourselves, disengage ourselves for the identification of the body, then we do not actually feel insults. And actually all the insults are for what? For this body. We are the spirit souls, servants of Krishna. Therefore, in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, there is another very wonderful story of a Natathur Ammal, a nice devotee, who goes to learn Sri Bhashya from his guru. And he knocks at the door and his guru says, do one thing, come when I die. He says, come when he dies? I mean, how can I learn the Sri? I want to learn the Bhagavad Gita from him. I want to learn the Sri Bhashya from him. And he's telling, come when he dies. Who will explain to me when he dies? So he goes back to his other devotees and they explain to him that when I die means when the I dies. When the I dies. Which means that ahankar. So you can only understand the Bhagavad Gita when that conception of I-ness. As it is said, you know, people have in their dictionaries three most important words. I, me and mine. So this has to be given up, actually. Only then can we actually understand what is. And lastly is that we must try not to offend these devotees who are trying to serve Krishna consciousness in various ways. And he explains that there are 12 such offenses. One is to see, we will just discuss a few, not all. One is to see Janma Nirupan. One is to see the birth of a person and judging them by their birth, being born in a low caste or something like that, is also an offense. It is called as Janma Nirupan. And we see there is a wonderful pastime of a great devotee who was born in a Shudra family. In Sri Rangam, he would be standing on the banks of the Kaveri and he would be offering his prayers to Lord Ranganath. So one day he was so absorbed in offering prayers to Ranganath that the priest, one of the pujaris of Lord Ranganath, came there to take a bath. So when he came there, this Shudra was standing on the way. So he called out, "Get out of the way, I want to take a bath." So that lowborn, he was standing in the way and so engaged, engrossed in the meditation of the Lord that he did not realize that this pujari had come. So he didn't move. So this pujari, he took a stone and threw it on that devotee. And it hit his head and it started bleeding. So immediately he realized, oh, I'm standing on the way of this pujari. What an offense. So he got aside. So when this pujari went back to Ranganath to offer his services, so Ranganath was very angry with him. And that night he appeared to his dream, in his dream, and told him that you committed a great offense to my devotee. Tomorrow I want you to atone for it by going there to him and requesting that he should sit on your shoulder and bring him to my altar for my private darshan. And this pujari woke up in amazement and in great regret for what he had done. And the next day he went to this devotee and requested him that you please be seated on my shoulder. I want to take you for darshan of Lord Ranganath. And he said, no, I am so low born. How can I ever enter into the altar of Ranganath? That's not possible. He said, but it's the Lord's instruction. You have to do it. Please save me from this great offense. Give me this opportunity for service. And then at last he agreed and he took him on his shoulder and took him for the darshan of Ranganath. And from that day onwards, this devotee's name came to be Muni Vahan, the person who rode on the shoulders of a Muni or of a Pujari. So his name came to be Muni Vahan. So it is very important not to judge someone as being high or low on the basis of their birth. Just like in one temple, one devotee was stopped from going because he was low born. So he was very morose and he started praying to the Lord, "Lord, why is this injustice being done to me? I am a devotee, I just want to take your darshan, that's all." So that night the Lord appeared to him and told him, "Look, don't go into that temple because those pujaris didn't allow me also inside." But ultimately, if you see that in places where these principles are not followed, certainly the Lord is not pleased. So we have to actually be very careful that we do not commit this kind of offense. Sharir Nirupan, we should not see the bodily designation, the male, female. We should not see these things. So, he says, Bhava Nirupan, we should not judge people on the basis of their age. We can see that there have been great devotees who have been very young in age, but who have been great devotees, like Prahlad, Dhruva Maharaj. In fact, Shukdev Goswami. In the Naimisharanya forest, Vasishtha Muni, who was far senior in age than Shukdev Goswami. But when Parikshit came inquiring to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Vasishtha Muni pointed out to Shukdev Goswami, who was just 16-year-old boy, and requested that he should be speaking the Srimad Bhagavatam. So age is not the consideration. We should not judge someone on the basis of their age. Another very important principle is Alasya Nirupana. Sometimes judging devotees on the basis of their eating, sleeping, and even laziness. Sometimes we may see a devotee being lazy and sleeping too much, or just probably wasting time. But he says that we should not even judge them on the basis of this quality. And he says Bandhu Nirupana. We should not even consider someone as my relative. If a Vaishnava, if a devotee, member of the family is a devotee, we should consider him as a devotee. And to think that he is my relative first and then a devotee is a great offense. He is first a devotee and then he is a member of my family. That is a very important principle. Prakash Nirupan, he says, respecting acharyas and great preachers and disrespecting the simple devotees. So that is a very important principle. Many times, advanced devotees we offer obeisances and new devotees we neglect. Sometimes we see that. And many times when devotees go, or even for that matter, when brahmacharis or someone, they go for prasadam, sometimes we see that very enthusiastic to serve us. But when there are some new devotees, they may not be so enthusiastic to serve them. But which is an offense, actually. So this is a sign of neophyteness. One should serve everyone, even the new devotee, irrespective of the color of his clothes, equally enthusiastically. Because that is a sign of a neophyteness. Neophyte means new fights. Always fighting, quarreling, and trying to find faults. And Vartana Nirupan, judging them on the basis of their occupation. He's a farmer. Oh, he's a farmer. Oh, he's a soldier. He's a Vaishya. So these are the things that we must be very careful. Because offense can actually completely destroy our enthusiasm for serving Krishna. As we can see in the Ramayana, that Sita had to be abducted by Ravan for 1 year. And she had to stay with an strange demon, Rakshasa, for 1 year because of her offense towards Lakshman. When Lakshman was guarding her, when Ram had gone to bring back the golden deer, at that time, Sita had requested that she should go and back up Ram. She should see that maybe Ram is actually in danger and he should go and help Ram. But Lakshman said that I have been given this service. I should stay here and protect you. But then Sita told him that probably you have some ill motivations. You want to enjoy me in my husband's absence. So for this great offense towards Lakshman, it is explained that she had to be kidnapped by Ravan and suffer for 1 year in Lanka. So, of course, they are all liberated souls. They are all Supreme Personality of Godheads. But they were teaching through their personal example that how we must be very careful in dealing with devotees. Otherwise, it could create a great havoc in our spiritual lives. And lastly is to chant attentively, which is the culmination. If all that I have spoken, if you found that there is no sense in it, at least this thing will certainly work. Is to chant attentively and pray. Would they explain like chanting is like mother's milk. When you drink mother's milk, it gives you sufficient immunity to various diseases. So therefore, you must always be careful of chanting attentively. Therefore, it is said, explained, Harer Naam, Harer Naam, Harer Naam, Eva Kevala. 3 times. Why? When a person is distracted, then you repeat it. In this age of Kali Yuga, most of the people are distracted with sense gratification. Therefore, it has to be repeated. Harer Naam. Just like I was telling in a Bhagavatam class before yesterday, that in a court, the judge will say, order, order, order. And then everyone, huh? Acha, order. Acha, acha, okay. Quiet, silence please. You have to repeat 3 times. Therefore, Harer Naam, Harer Naam, Harer Naam. Okay, Harer Naam, yeah, yeah. What does it mean? Harer Naam. Just hear it. Hear the holy names attentively. Harer Naam. Realize it. And Harer Naam again. To preach it. So therefore you must hear it attentively. We have to realize it and preach. If we do not preach, we cannot actually have that sufficient enthusiasm to practice Krishna consciousness. Life becomes monotonous. Life becomes boring. Imagine if you're just practicing. If you're just practicing, say you are practicing for a sport, or say our Prabhuji is an expert mridang player and he's practicing mridang throughout the week. Throughout the week. For what? Why do you practice? So that you can actually come and play in the temple for a Sunday feast program, something like that. There is a show. But you just keep practicing, practicing, practicing. Prabhu, why are you practicing? Just practice. But why are you practice? But just practice. No. You have to practice to perform somewhere. So similarly, you are practicing for yourself. That's okay. But what are you going? When are you going to perform? So the performance is outside. When we actually go reach people and take responsibility of people's lives, to bring them in, up in Krishna consciousness, can we actually realize the various varieties in which we can be absorbed in bliss in serving Krishna. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is Keval Ananda Kanda. But in order to experience that Ananda, we have to be in the consciousness of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is of Audarya, of magnanimity, to give Krishna's mercy to everyone. But if we are not having that consciousness of preaching, in whatever way we are doing, it may not necessarily mean to give lectures, it may mean just simply to cook for the Lord in the kitchen, but with the consciousness of inspiring the devotees in Krishna consciousness, then we cannot actually enter into the realm of Navadvip. So this was told by Jananivas Prabhu to me when we asked him that what consciousness is appropriate for actually realizing the importance of the Dham. And he said, you must be in the mood of preaching in order to actually experience Navadvip Dham. If you're not in that mood, then it is very difficult. So Jaidvait Swami Maharaj just asked this question. What to do? I'm getting so bored sometimes of Krishna consciousness. So I said, really? Why don't you preach? Preach. Go to Pakistan and preach. Preach. And we can see red devotees were doing that. One day I was going with one book distributor, and I was in, I think, Pirangut area. And that devotee just disappeared with a big bunch of books. And he came back empty-handed. And I said, Prabhu, where were you? I distributed that books to the mutton shop. Butcher. He went and told him, kya maas khata hai machi, ye theek nahi hai. Ye lo Prabhupada ji, kitab padho, aap sab seekh jaoge. Ye sab chhod doge aap. Achha? And he purchased a whole set of Srila Prabhupada's books. And then we really started understanding the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness. When we learn to give Krishna consciousness to others in that mood of giving, then we can actually understand. So it is very important. Like one of our devotees was telling today that he was going in a bus. He was going in a train, sorry. And he was, you know, showing the books. Coming back. Take this book. Coming back. Because life is temporary. You're going to die and you'll take birth again. Probably. We don't know when. Do you want to know whether you'll be able to meet your relatives or not in your next life? Take this book. So one of the people started saying, really? Okay. I will purchase this book, but I will pay the money in the next life. Is that okay? You believe in reincarnation? So I said, yes. So that book distributor said, yes, I believe. But we don't know whether we will be born in a human form in the next life. So therefore, better you pay me in this life only. So this is an important principle we have to actually understand. So we may be conditioned, you know, to go back to our old laziness and things like that. Our conditioning, therefore, they're like bed bugs. You know the quality of bed bugs? They disappear in winter, but they come back in summer. But you can never find them. But they keep biting you. And this is my personal experience also when you sleep. In the mosquito net. You drive out all the mosquitoes and you sleep inside peacefully. But in the middle of the night, where are the mosquitoes? They're not mosquitoes, they're bed bugs. So the past conditionings are like bed bugs. To somehow avoid them from keep coming back. The lethargy. To preach, if it keeps coming back, it will keep pushing it out. Very important principle. So therefore, we have to be patient and tolerant and keep practicing Krishna consciousness. Be patient and just practice. So many times, once a devotee went to God and he was praying that, God, please give me patience. I pray to you for patience. Give me patience. Give me patience. Give me now. Praying to the Lord, make me patient, but please do it quickly. So this is a problem, isn't it? We lack patience. But what can be done? We have to still be patient. Somehow or another, we have to be patient. So what is the way? As a Sufi saint, there's a Sufi saying, how do you drive out darkness? Simple. Switch on the lights. So we have to take shelter of the holy name. That is the only way. If nothing else works, we have to take shelter of the holy name and absorb ourselves in the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. As Srila Prabhupada so wonderfully did, we can follow in his examples. The wonderful example and the standard of preaching which Srila Prabhupada has set for all of us to follow. At the age of 70, he went to the West. Wrote 70 volumes of books, constructed 108 temples, initiated 5,000 disciples. Certainly a standard for all of us to match. Not for competition, but actually for inspiration. He's an inspiration for all of us, which he so wonderfully did. So we try to take shelter, taking inspiration from the great acharyas in the past by chanting the holy names in a humble state of mind. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Bhaktavrind ki jai, Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bol. So any comments anybody wants to make? Any questions?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Prabhuji, this question is not on my behalf.
Yeah.
Prabhuji, I want to ask you, like, if the person is following all regulative principles, he is chanting 16 rounds. If he feels like to go with his non-devotee friends to movies outside and, like, you know, going to restaurants and having, going to restaurant.
Restaurants.
Yeah. Karmi restaurants and not having onion garlic, like his friends are having. So Prabhuji, how a person could balance it? Getting a point. Like, my question is, like, if the person wants to go to movies outside, Infinity Mall, like, you know, if he wants to go with... So Prabhuji, how to balance it? Prabhuji, Prabhuji, the person is walking and the environment, the people are going outside. So, Prabhuji, always the question comes...
Yeah, that's a good question. Actually, you know, many people have that problem, especially in the beginning days of our Krishna consciousness. So you can try to balance it. You like to see movies, why don't you see Krishna conscious movies? So that's always there.
Hari Bol, it is hardly once in a year, like it Birla Matrusri. And you know, it's every Friday a new movie comes. So Prabhuji, it is very difficult. Nay, Prabhuji, it is not like, you know, I don't want to make people laugh. It's like, Prabhuji, it's very serious question. It always comes to me. But it was like, you know, how to... Prabhuji, it was very difficult for me to ask. But I could not stop myself to ask you, like, you know, Prabhuji. So please tell me how to balance it, like, going to movies also and chanting 16 round constantly with the quality and following our regulative meetings. Well, I do follow regulative meetings. I don't eat onion garlic when I go with my friends outside. But Prabhuji, I like to go like, you know, the movies, and I could not stop myself.
Yeah. Hare Krishna. So we like to do so many things in Krishna consciousness, but we don't do them. Why? Because it doesn't please Krishna. Krishna is not pleased if we go to, you know, movies. Because Prabhupada says that movies is in the mode of ignorance. It's in the mode of tamogun. So you can go to movies, no problem. If you are not so sincere to please Krishna, if you don't have such a sincere desire to please Krishna. But however, if you really want to make advancement, then you can try to avoid it. Because what do you see in movies? You see people, half-naked people, you see actors, actresses, and you pick up values from these people. So it's highly contaminating. Movies are highly, highly contaminating. They're very impressive. There's a lot of technology which goes into making these movies. And some of them may be very sattvic also, in one sense, from one perspective. But the thing is, there is Maya in it. So if you want to take your time gradually to come to this, to the standard of Krishna consciousness, then you have certainly the full right to see movie at the same time chant. Who is there to stop us? We are ourselves to make the decision. But whenever you feel inspired, when you develop a higher taste, then naturally you will give up the lower taste. So what my suggestion would be, is that if you really want an alternative, then you see Krishna conscious movies. There are so many movies which are available. Yadavar Prabhu is coming up with so many wonderful DVDs of Srila Prabhupada. And there are so many scientific documentaries which also can be used in Krishna consciousness, which can be used. And you can see them. You can bring your friends and you can show them these movies in the at home. So that way you can dovetail your propensity in Krishna consciousness. However, it's up to you to decide. When you feel confident, when you develop a higher taste in serving Krishna, then naturally the lower tastes will be, you know, gone.
So, like it's horrible. Prabhuji, it's a dangerous, like going to movies. It's like, Prabhuji, like, I want to ask you one more question. Like, you know, Prabhuji, like, it's a dangerous to going to movies outside, or it will low my bhakti, like, you know, Prabhuji.
Of course, what is movies? It is complete maya. It's junk. What do you see in movies? Nothing but boy and girl and that's all.
Now, Prabhuji, Haribol.
So if you want me to tell me that movies are Krishna conscious, no, impossible.
Prabhuji,
movies are maya.
Prabhuji, there are less, movies like Shrek and Spider-Man.
Okay, so I don't want to get into the details, but it is up to you. And nor do I want the audience to get certain ideas of which are the latest movies which are coming. But principally we can understand is that movies basically are maya. The cinema theatres are in maya. And if you want to go, certainly you are free to go. No one is stopping you. But at the same time, if you feel inspired to give it up, you can also give it up. Okay? Hare Krishna. So next person, I think someone has a... So we'll end here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bo.